The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Hello again, it's Pat Kenny here. We're currently working away behind the scenes in preparation for my new weekend show, which will be coming your way in March. Every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m, I'll be covering everything from the latest in current affairs to the best in culture and lots, lots more. And the good news is, to keep you up to date on all we have to offer, you don't have to do a thing. Just make sure you keep following this feed on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. Between now and then, however, I've been looking back at some of the most thought-provoking and engaging guests to grace our studio over the past 12 years. John Costello, a solicitor at Noble Law Solicitors, is with me now to talk about making a will. John, good morning and welcome.
Thanks, Pat.
Now, there's always lots of talk about the process of making a will. It's relatively straightforward. You can actually DIY it or you can go to a solicitor. But the question is, how young do you make a will at? I mean, as soon as you have property, is that it?
Well, you have to be over 18, first of all, to make a will. And you could have personal possessions, you know, you could have jewellery, you could have paintings, you know, valuable contents. You don't have to own a property, you don't have to have a bank account, you can make a will with very little assets. But I mean, where I come across it in practice, there's three main areas where people make a will or should make a will. It's A, if there's young children and they have to appoint guardians in case both parents die. The second one is a trust, if you have, say, a child with special needs, or you might have a beneficiary who has a drink problem or a gambling problem, you set up a trust for them in your will. And the third area where you have it is maybe if you have a property abroad. I recommend that you make a will in, say you have a holiday home in Portugal, that you make a will in Portugal dealing with that property.
Okay, now how challengeable is a will?
Well, there are legal rights for a spouse and legal rights for children. A spouse is entitled to one third of their husband's estate or their partner's estate, where there are children, and one half where there are no children. Children have rights to challenge a will. They can't challenge anything that is inherited by their mother. But if there's other property, they have to prove that the parent has failed in their moral duty to make proper provision for them, and they have to have a financial need. Now, so there's all sorts of case law on what is a breach of moral duty. But say, for example, five children were educated and the sixth child wasn't educated, didn't go to college or anything, and they weren't treated the same, they might have a claim.
And could they do that, say, they're 50 years old and the parents...
Yeah, you can be any age. You can be any age. You don't have to be under 18. No, you can be any age. I've had cases where people are 50s and 60s are challenging their parents' will. And one of the questions, by the way, that came in, I saw, was if there's a dispute about a will. It's sometimes it can be worse. The fights among siblings can be worse than an awful family law case.
Yeah.
So I always recommend mediation, because the only people that benefit when it goes to court are the lawyers.
Yeah, it goes to the High Court, and you can see the total sum they're arguing about being frittered away on court costs.
Well, that's it. And also what I think is wrong is that the lawyers are guaranteed their fees out of the residue of the estate.
Now, some of the questions coming in, if a recipient of an inheritance can gift other family members in order to lessen their tax bill?
No, you can't do that. If you're left a legacy or an inheritance,
it's yours.
Yes, and it's a separate arrangement.
You can't divert it.
Now, what you can do, you can disclaim. For example, say you left a legacy of 40,000, and you can disclaim the 40,000. It then
you
goes.
You have to disclaim it all.
You have to disclaim it all. Okay. That's right. But you could disclaim that and say the residue was going to your children. Well, then the 40,000 would then go to your children under the residue of the will.
Our brother was willed the family farm with the proviso he looked after mum for her time. So time has elapsed, as has any looking after my mum. Have we any rights?
Well, I saw that question. It's important to see the wording in the will. The wording would be very important here. You know, I presume it was set up in a will, that arrangement. So you'd need to see that it's, you know, but it's the mother that would make that would challenge because
she's not being looked after.
Yeah.
Can you move an existing will from one solicitor to another?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Any costs involved?
Well, there shouldn't be costs, really.
It's just passing on to
Yeah,
document.
No problem.
Okay, question coming in. Can one child be completely cut out of a will due to a falling out in the past?
If that child was a multimillionaire, they mightn't be able to challenge the will. But if they're in financial need, I would imagine they'd have a good chance of succeeding.
Okay, and it depends on the nature of the falling out. If it's simply a family bicker about something, on the other hand, if it's bad behaviour where someone may have stolen or something like that,
if the child had abused their parents, they wouldn't have a claim then.
Okay, but a court would adjudicate on that.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one. How to make a will. What do you do if you have no reliable executor? Who else can act for you reliably?
Well, solicitors are often asked to act as executor.
But can the solicitor witnessing the will or preparing the will also be the executor?
But the solicitor isn't supposed to witness the will, because then they don't get any fees if they witness the will. So there has to be two independent witnesses.
Okay. What if you're not married and have no kids together, but kids from a previous marriage, he owns the house. What happens to me if he dies first?
Could you just read that again?
Yeah, it's a bit complicated.
Yeah.
You're not married to someone,
but
the partner in life.
Yeah.
You have no kids together,
but
there are kids from a previous marriage. He has kids. What happens if he dies first? Is that person who's not married left destitute?
Well, if they're partners, they have rights of inheritance under the Succession Act. You could have a civil partnership and they've had legal rights, but you owe a duty to your children.
Suppose they're just living together, cohabiting for years and years.
Yeah, cohabitants have legal rights.
Do they get, is it a third?
It's not specific. You have to go to court, but you owe legal rights to your children, but not to stepchildren.
Okay. Now, here's a question which comes up again and again, where you've got single people, no kids, or even a married couple, no kids, and therefore, anything they leave is going to be hit with a maximum tax.
Yes.
So what do you think? Is there a way around this?
Well, you can, first of all, you can leave the family home tax-free if there's a child or beneficiary living in the family home with you. So sometimes that can be a huge relief to the child living at home, or child or children.
But if you don't have children and you've no one, immediately related to you by blood, but you've got lots of nieces, nephews, grandchildren or whatever.
This doesn't happen very often. You can take out a life policy to pay inheritance tax, but it's only, I suppose, when there's larger estates where that might happen. But there is a debate going on at the moment. You see, you can only leave a brother or a sister or a nephew or niece 40,000 tax-free. There's a debate going on at the present time that maybe nephews and nieces, brothers or sisters should have a larger threshold. And my view is that that there's merit in that argument. And what I would suggest is that they would increase the threshold for nephews and nieces, brothers and sisters to 400,000, equally between them all. So in other words, if you have two brothers and sisters, you leave them all the residue of your estate, they each get a threshold of 200,000, 400,000 divided in two. And if there were four nephews and nieces getting the residue, they each get a 100,000 threshold.
Okay, so this would vary depending on individual circumstances.
Yeah, and the number of beneficiaries.
Yeah, that might get some traction in the budget.
Well, I think that's a compromise. And you just have the one threshold of 400,000 spread among a number of beneficiaries.
I feel a bit guilty because as a single person with sizable assets, I want to leave one of my siblings who lives abroad about 50% less than the ones who live here. I also have a few nephews and nieces who I'd like to look after. Any advice?
Well, I mean, if you're single...
She wants to leave money, and some of it will have to be taxed if it's over the threshold, but she wants to favour one person or
Well, legally she's entitled to do that, but it is a sensitive situation, you know.
So she can decide to divvy among her siblings as she wishes.
Yes, you've no duty to siblings. Legal duty.
I'm 55, homeowner, no children, self-employed, limited company owner. Can I leave an equal share to five of my nearest and dearest? How much can they inherit before they're taxed? These are friends. She wants to leave to friends.
Well, there's only 20,000 tax-free for a friend unless they're a blood relation. So,
And 40 grand for...
40 for a nephew or niece, brother or sister, yeah. So there's no way around it.
If several family members are left a house, can one insist on being bought out?
I think they'd have no legal right to buy out the others, but sometimes it's put into the will and that could make it easier.
Okay. Should you have the power of attorney separate to a will? That's from Teresa.
Yes, definitely. And that's it's very important that people make an enduring power of attorney.
Can you ask, John, if you're adopted into a family, do you have the same rights as the natural siblings?
You do. You do, yeah.
Myself and my sister signed our part of the family home to our sibling. My mother has passed away and circumstances in the family have now changed due to separation and divorce. Could we still have any entitlement to the family home now on this basis, even though we signed it away?
I don't think so. We'd need to know all the facts, but I doubt it.
Can you leave a house to your children on condition the house is not to be sold forever? That's from Pa in Dublin. Like, you're not allowed to sell the house.
Well, if I was making that will, I wouldn't recommend that. It's a recipe for a disaster. I mean, I think legally perhaps you could, but I think, you know.
I mean, the house, for example, if you can't afford its upkeep and it's crumbling away there because you're under some legal restriction not to sell, I don't see how that would hold.
No, I've never come across it, but you may have to go to court for directions.
All right, John. Fascinating area as ever. That's John Costello, solicitor at Noble Law Solicitors. Thank you very much for joining.